Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are, be sure to hit that subscribe button, a little notify bell next to it. Make sure you're always getting your new Going In Raw content. We're at 190,000 subs as of this morning, Larson.
Exactly.
We're 10,000 away, 10 measly thousand away from the big 200.
Do we get another plaque? Another plaque from YouTube?
No, that's not till we hit a million.
Oh, wow.
We have to get a lot more.
I guess we'd better be satisfied with the one plaque we
have. Yeah, we should be happy with that one plaque. We're going to feature it prominently somewhere.
In the new office.
It's outside the door here. Yeah. So that every time you walk in, you can be reminded of our status almost 100,000 subs ago.
I can't remember the last time I realized it was out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's out there, but I don't pay any attention to it.
It's just part of the general scenery now. When you
so it's like usually when I walk in your door, it's blinders in here. Blinders on the way out.
Oh,
nothing against your house. I come in here, I work, I get the hell out.
Oh my gosh. Wow. It all comes. There's no joy or passion involved. It's all just hard labor for you here.
Well,
talking about wrestling.
About what we do is hard labor.
That's true. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got a ton of great friendos.
You have a lovely home.
I know I have a lovely home. It's rad. I love this place. It's great. I am so anxious to get out of this damn office, though.
Yeah, I think me too. That's why I'm like in, out.
No, dude, I feel the same way. I've told you this before. It's two things for me. Number one, knowing that we have the office, but we can't really use it because it doesn't have internet yet.
I know. That really sticks in my craw, too.
And it's comical at this point. We've been talking about it on air for the longest time.
This can be our next road to Spotify.
I know, man. Road to office space.
Here, hold on. I'm hoping this changes our fortunes.
Okay. You didn't do that with the tag. Okay, cool. Right on. Gypsy will grab that later. I'm so over it. It's that, and then on top of that, like, I need a new office chair. Where'd you get your office chair from?
I don't remember.
Can I have yours?
My wife got it for me.
It's no. Lane brand. I saw that.
What is it?
Lane.
Spell that.
L-A-N-E.
Okay.
I was inspecting your chair, because I sat in it when I went to the office last. I was sitting there.
Did you fart in it?
I was texting Jeff, yes. I was texting Jeff.
Clean it now.
Of course. I was texting Jeff, Big Jim, and I was like, man, this dude's got like the comfiest freaking office chair.
Probably at Staples or Office Depot
and then
or something.
We collectively made fun of your office desk. It's so tiny.
Yeah, I know. I don't need a huge desk.
Like a bigger one.
I don't need a larger one. I don't need anything
you do,
large.
Man.
I have this laptop. That's what's going on top of it.
Yeah. And then like other stuff.
Why do I need other stuff? That's a place. This is space for clutter. I don't need that.
Nah, man. Look at this. Look at how big this office desk is over here.
I think it's supposed to be a dining room table, first of all.
That's not a... Nobody eats dining room... Nobody has a dining room table. It's like, whatever that is, metal and...
I mean, if they're like really into the industrial style stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not a desk.
It's like some sort of cold East German table.
But I don't have like this tower. I don't have monitors. I don't need all this stuff. I don't need a whole side of stuff for various headphone cases.
You might, though.
Cases.
What if we want to record stuff
Here's
on your
the thing.
Side?
I have my small desk. It's
like an
this
end table.
Wide.
You brought an end
it's
table
It's about
there,
this
man.
Wide. And next to that, I'm going to put my TV stand that's currently in my office at home. And it's longer than this.
What? You're not going to have the TV so I can see it, too. I want to know what you're watching.
We're going to have another TV.
We're going to have like three TVs in there, man. It's going to
okay,
be a lot
so
of
everybody's
TVs.
Got a TV at their disposal. So tranquilo, man. Yes, Julian Morris here in chat. I do need a happy meal. I brought a salad for lunch. Sensible, but boring.
Mm-hmm.
The way I'm feeling today, I'm going to need something. I need a little kick in the pants is what I'm saying.
Like what?
I don't know, but I'm probably going to make a really irresponsible choice with my food today.
Ooh, I like it. Go get like a chocolate
I
need
to go to the
muffin.
Gym this morning.
Get like a chocolate muffin.
I have to go this afternoon.
Went to the gym yesterday, man. Wrecked my peaks. Anyways.
Which ones? Which peaks?
Biff and Bop right here.
No.
It's not really
Whoa.
Impressive.
I better stay in the doorway. It's an earthquake happening. I don't know if anybody saw that. He was flexing his pecs.
No, nobody saw it.
I could see impressive. It. Oh, there you go.
Once
you
I'm
go.
Done. Yeah, because my arms need to be in. Once I'm done out there, though, like it's like.
I know. If I looked the way I did after
I finished. I look like Connor from Early Ascension.
If I looked like how I did after I finished my workout, I'd be completely happy with my with how I, like aesthetically.
Like always? Yeah. That was
yeah.
Like
about, you know, all my, like when my muscles are engorged with blood after I work out and they're
that
all swollen.
That sounds so gross.
I know, but that's what's happening.
That sounds so nasty.
If I look like that all the time,
yeah.
If I was that fit, I'd be really happy.
Yeah, you need to eat like more.
I know
protein.
I eat a lot of protein.
You bring this little like weird bird food over, man.
I know, but it's all full of protein.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Like though. All my lentil pasta, I eat lentil pasta because it's full of protein.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna.
I have a quarter cup of lentils on the salad I brought because it's full of protein. Steve.
You need to get more. Anyways, let's talk about SmackDown
if we must.
You know, I'm so okay. I'll put it this way. I need like a clean slate for SmackDown, and I hope we get that after Fastlane.
It's probably more likely after Mania.
You're probably right about that, although we did get one interesting development last night.
Yeah.
At the very end.
Yeah, kind of.
I like the speech. I like the moment. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens gave like a little thing afterwards where he didn't say anything. He was just in shock. It was like a Fallout thing backstage. But anyways, the show kicked off with...
An interview. Never a good way to start a show.
Yeah, I know. Ever since you pointed that out, you were like, yeah, interviews are never a good way to start.
This didn't have to be interviewed. Dasha asked one question, and then they did the rest of the talking. Charlotte and Ruby Riott.
Yeah.
Just have Ruby Riott come out and say, I came to SmackDown, finally have Riott Squad deliver their manifesto about why they're there.
Yeah.
Have Ruby Riott say, I came to SmackDown with Riott Squad to destroy the myth that is the Queen Charlotte Flair.
So I was actually...
Have Charlotte come out and respond. That seemed like a more dynamic way to start the segment.
I was actually paying attention last night, and Dasha, when she introduced Charlotte... She said, Charlotte, like, here's the camera, right? Said, Charlotte Flair. I think Vince said, look forward at the camera! Because she started to look at Charlotte and went, like that. Anyways, like you said, it was an interview segment. It was whatever. Ruby Riott's great, though, man. She delivers. She doesn't stumble. She delivers so well. In her, I just wish that creative did something better for her. I wish that.
I know.
And on top of that, like, even her motivation was a little wonky, you know? Like, I saw Charlotte pick up her SmackDown championship after winning every other title, and the myth began. I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, that's
the
sort
myth
of.
Actually, I mean, the story of Charlotte began long before.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
She was ever on
Probably
SmackDown.
When she first picked up, you know, like, if you want to talk about titles, like, when she first picked up the NXT Women's Championship, that was kind of the first one it started.
Yeah. But anyways, they go back and forth, and of course, Ruby Riott brings up her family name, how she benefited from it, and Charlotte says, no, I had to work twice as hard because of the expectations placed upon me because of my family name. If I didn't live up those expectations, I'd be viewed as not as successful as her, you know, arguably greatest wrestler of all time father.
And it is, I mean, it is very impressive what Charlotte has accomplished. Let me just say that. But then Ruby says, once I take that title away from you, you're just going to be another bleached blonde failure with a famous family name or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking to myself, well, she still has all those titles.
Yeah.
And then if she wins another title, she'll just be like a two-time SmackDown Women's Champion.
Yeah, I know.
So, I don't know.
So anyway, Charlotte like steps up to her.
And then Riott's, Ruby Riott goes, eh.
Yeah, she nods to Riott Squad. They
Liv
get
Morgan,
the
Sarah Logan come in there. They're about to lay waste to Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte starts to take off her robe, her belt, get ready for a fight.
Yeah.
And then you hear, glorious.
Yeah.
Bob Roode comes out.
And the look on Charlotte's face and her reaction was so flippin' adorable. And then she got on Twitter and tweeted out that picture with the open with like the chorus line from The Boy Is Mine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Whatever. Seemed to be confused.
I wonder if she wasn't told that was gonna happen.
That could be, maybe.
It was really genuine.
It seemed really genuine. And here's the thing, it seemed really adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Between that and the interaction between Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman in the mixed match challenge, which is freaking adorable as heck. Like that last night they did some really funny stuff. And it's all very, it's not like salacious or anything like that. It's all very, it's like, you know, silly rom-com stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they would do more stuff like that. And then Bobby Roode came down and just laid waste. Glorious DDTs to Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, Liv Morgan. And then Charlotte. It was weird.
They actually just went to commercial.
He just started kicking everybody. And I was like, oh my God, they're doing intergender stuff.
No, they happened. They went to commercial.
They went to commercial before he even came down. And then as we came back from commercial, the women had teleported away. And
Bob Roode teleported to the commentary desk and did commentary for the first match of the show.
Yeah.
Which was Randall Orton versus Jinder Mahal.
So I just appreciate that. I appreciate that Bob Roode came down.
What's going on with your ear there?
And the women, like, it was just nothing happened because they just knew that, oh, our segment's over.
I know.
We don't have time. Like, there was no, like, all he had to do was sort of, like, look at them and they can, like, slink off. But even that might be kind of weird territory. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you're cruising for a bruising, lady.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
No, you can't do that at all. You can't do that.
I mean, I wonder who pitched that. Yeah, Bobby Roode will come out after that. And they'll be like, and then what?
And then what? Commercial break.
Exactly, yeah. Leave it up to their imaginations. Because he could have dropped glorious DDTs on everybody during the commercial. We don't know.
Don't know.
There you go. Yeah, just leave it to their imaginations. I mean, I would suspect
you would have heard a report about that. If yeah. That had happened. We didn't hear anything. So I'm guessing he walked to the commentary desk. All the women walked backstage.
Mm-hmm.
That was that.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, I don't know. It was silly, but I thought it was cute. I thought her reaction, there's a part of me that thinks maybe you're right. Maybe it was genuine because it was very cute. So anyways,
first match, Randall Orton versus Jinder Mahal
with Bob Roode on commentary.
Yeah.
Bob Roode. So anyways, this is a fun match. Orton. Somebody got a haircut. Yeah, I am kind of bummed out. Number one, do we know if they're plugs?
Don't know. I heard transplant.
Plugs.
Between transplant and plugs. I mean, both of them, they require taking hair from another part of your body to put on your head, right?
Okay, so I thought, isn't plugs fake hair?
No, I don't think so, because it has to grow. Fake hair wouldn't grow. A toupee is fake hair.
Mr. Buettner's hair never grew, dude.
Okay, then I don't know. I always thought plugs, they would take hair from other parts of your body. And
man, he used to help me. Like he used to help me on tests, right? Like you could raise your hand during a trig test, and he'd come over and he'd do the question for you. You'd get it right on your score.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you would just you're good for that at least one or two questions. He's like, okay, Steve, I'll help you out with this one. He'll do it, and the entire time I'm just staring at his head. He's a nice enough guy.
Yeah, hair plugs are real hair.
They are real hair.
Yeah.
Do they grow though? Maybe they're just implants. Maybe the transplant is when it actually does grow.
They grow, but I guess this is from hairphysician.com. The plug refers to the old round grouping of hairs that would be inserted into the scalp. So they take chunks of hair from somewhere else and put them in your scalp.
Right.
Or, you know, somewhere else in your head.
Yeah.
It says, it's real hair and behaves the same way real hair does. The only downside, it looks fake to the size of the plug.
Yeah, yeah.
The round look it has.
Yeah.
And the gaps that occur between plugs.
What's the transplant then?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well,
here, I'll get to that.
Because transplant doesn't look fake.
No, his hair looks great.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Hair transplants.
A more general.
Surgically removing individual hair follicles.
Wow, that's
from
insane.
One part of the body to another.
That's intense.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Something to think about if I go bald. As I continue to go bald. Anyways.
Plugs. It's not just individual hairs. They take pieces of tissue out. The actual.
Yeah. Ew. Anyways, all right, man, enough of this.
I guess the pores or whatever the hairs grow out of.
Orton got a haircut. I was kind of disappointed. I was hoping he would grow it out.
I wanted a mullet.
Bob Roode on commentary was really hammering home the fact that I respect Randall Orton. I love Randall Orton. I want to be with Randall Orton. I think he's great, even if it's just as a friend. I think those were exact words.
He spoke very highly of Randall Orton.
He did, and it was too much.
But he did not speak highly of Jinder Mahal. He said he doesn't respect him. At one point, Jinder came down to the ringside area, and Bobby did this. Laughed at him. Did you catch that?
I didn't. I've been looking away.
It was like a flashback to arrogant Bob Roode. Pointed at him and laughed at him.
That's great. And then Jinder Mahal went.
Ooh.
That was Roderick Strong's low point for me. Ever since then, he's been on fire. When he threw a kiss at Bob Roode for some reason.
It's because Bob Roode threw a kiss at his wife.
I know. It's still
weird. Or fiance.
Anyways, so this finishing sequence, so because the match didn't actually end. Yeah, it was like thrown out.
No.
Oh, the ref didn't catch all this stuff?
It was all on the outside. I mean, Bob Roode never.
Yeah, all he did was
a distraction. Bob Roode never laid a hand on anybody.
Yeah, yeah, all he did was. So Randy Orton, they're on the outside. Jinder Mahal was going to try to throw Randy Orton into like the ring steps or something. Orton reversed that, threw Jinder into Bob Roode.
Yeah.
They go back into the ring eventually. Bob Roode gets up. He gets up on the ring apron.
Him and Bob Roode and Randall Orton start arguing.
Yeah.
Jinder takes advantage, knees Orton into Roode, knocking Roode off the apron again. Orton turns around, eats the coloss. Jinder picks up a win. What, he's 4-0 against Randall Orton?
He's lost one title match. I'm sorry.
That's right.
So yeah, there was that. So yeah, I mean, I think it's obvious either Jinder's going to be inserted and make it a three-way, which would be weird because they already have a 8-way or whatever it's going to be in the main event.
Yeah, 6.
Or he's just going to interfere somehow in that United States.
And that's going to be a triple threat match at Mania. That's what I think
in
it's
the kickoff.
Be.
In the kickoff, right?
Yeah.
That sounds right to me. So I think Rude's gonna keep that title and take it into Mania, and I kind of think he's gonna leave Mania with it too. To be honest with you. I mean, I get the Randall Orton story if he hasn't won that yet, but I mean, does he really need it? Will it do anything for Randall Orton?
Well, if he wants to be a Grand Slam champion. Or if WWE wants to be a Grand Slam
champion. Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Like, I don't know. Do they really care?
Probably not.
They can say that, like, whenever he comes out to bore everybody when he's a babyface Orton, just turn him heel.
Agreed. I think he wants to be heel.
So next up, we had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn backstage. Kevin Owens was saying, Sammy,
A couple weeks back, you said you're going to lay down.
We're going to do a finger poke of doom scenario. Yay or nay? Is that still on the table? Is that still something I can plan on?
Emphatically, yay.
He said, yep. I will totally do that for you. You're everything to me. I'm successful because of you. And then they had a big hug, and the camera did a nice close-up on Kevin Owens with just the sweetest look of comfort on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Little did he know what would happen next, later on.
Next, Baron Corbin iPhone promo. Too many words. Just too many words on the screen.
I cannot stand these words they're doing, man. And it
distracts from the quality of the promo, because I thought Baron did a good job of the whole thing about beating Cena's eyes closed so you couldn't see him. I thought that was well done.
This is twice now that Baron has delivered these really great iPhone promos. Let's talk about Baron a little bit. Is he tweener guy now?
Yeah.
Because
going back to the reception you got at the house show here, he got a lot of cheers.
The way Shane introduced him as well at the end of the show leading into the main event.
Yeah.
He's totally tweener.
He's this guy who likes to fight now.
Yeah. I think that's cool.
And only cares about himself. Good, he doesn't like outwardly cheat.
Right, no, man.
He just cares about himself and likes to fight.
He gives it his all.
Yeah.
And they book him strong, too. I like that. Anyways. And he's really killed. Like, last 2 weeks, he's really killed these iPhone promos. Mm-hmm. But then all this crap comes flying at you on the screen.
Well, I think it's a good
idea.
And
they put, like, weird effects on it.
I hate it.
Oh, it's terrible. It doesn't add to the product. Keep it simple.
Yes. Next, there's a really well-done New Day Usos video package to... encapsulate their feud, but the careers of both teams, going back showing footage of Usos before their heel turn.
Well, they basically edited it to Big E's promo last week.
Both teams' promos.
But it really picked up steam, because Big E's promo last week was amazing. Yeah. And it's always great when you can take a really great promo and then cut a video package to
tell a story that takes place over a number of years.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it was so well done. Mm-hmm. It was so, so well done. It got me really into that. So that's cool. The graphics, I like little things like this. The graphics packaging for Fastlane is really cool.
Yeah, they get
that cool car. It looks kind of like the DeLorean, and it's about to.
Yeah, but it's like Tron too.
Right, it's kind of Tronish.
Yeah, I like the new matchup graphics they got for SmackDown. They finally upgraded those.
Yeah, those are good.
It's like a combination of what was going on, kind of the 205 live with the glowing text. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
Next, we had a Shinsuke Nakamura interview backstage. Talking about how he's going to beat AJ Styles at WrestleMania. In walks Rusev and Aiden English.
This is a bad idea.
English tries to sing, but apparently he took a Kinshasa to the throat last week. Can't sing. When Rusev is upset that his friend can't sing and sing Rusev Day.
You broke my friend. Nakamura said, when I beat you, it's going to be Nakamura Day. He sang it, and it was cool. The problem is, when they introduced Shinsuke and Nakamura, the crowd really didn't do anything. When Rusev walks into frame, the crowd erupts.
Yeah.
This does not compute, man. This doesn't make any sense. Why would they put a guy in there who they're trying to get over, Nakamura? And by the way, they've had a million opportunities to do just the bare basics of correctly get it. It won't take but the bare minimum to get Shinsuke Nakamura over. And yet they haven't even approached the bare minimum to do it.
They haven't for months.
I mean, my whole thing was, hey, let's wait till after the Rumble, because I had a feeling he was going to win. He won the Rumble. Let's get this, AJ rivalry, Shinsuke thing going, and it could be really cool. I envision in my head, like, the somebody posted on Twitter the Limp Bizkit My Way video promo for WrestleMania 17 with Rock and Austin. It could be that kind of thing, but like two guys who respect and like each other, but they start to get physical with each other to get back at each other leading into the match.
Nothing.
None of that.
Instead, we get a last-minute match for Nakamura.
I know. Why didn't they go the Cena-Nakamura route? Like, are they that scared to job Cena-Nakamura again?
I don't know.
Why not? Like, just do it.
I know.
Just do that. That's a perfect road to WrestleMania, and you can still accomplish anything. Cena's not going to win on Sunday.
Yeah.
So that's annoying. And then to put him in this match, so we're going to have, what, maybe 3 weeks of AJ Shinsuke to build to Mania. That's a load of crap for these two guys.
I know.
And AJ was doing his damnedest.
Oh, I know.
In
he
his
was
promo.
Doing everything he could to put that match over.
To put it over, exactly. And instead of having Nakamura face some sort of interesting stakes in this go-home pay-per-view to WrestleMania, fighting Cena for the spot keep Cena out of it.
Yes.
They have him going up against the guy who...
Next to AJ is probably the most over guy on the show.
He's a top five over in the company.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And organically over, which is like the best kind of being over.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that everybody want, like people want Rusev to succeed. That's the worst.
I know.
Like if you're trying to get a guy over, don't put him in there against the guy that the crowd naturally wants to see succeed.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make a lick of sense. And Nakamura is going to go over at Fastlane. Like, that's a given. That's like probably where all my confidence points are going to be. But, man, that's I don't get it. That's like crap booking 101 right there.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's so frustrating.
If you're looking to undermine Nakamura's push, this is how you do it, especially when the crowd is chanting Rusev Day throughout this match when you want the crowd to be chanting for Nakamura.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, J.S. Wooten here in chat has a great take on it. Nakamura isn't treated special, and Rusev Day is a special thing on its own, but they don't push it.
I know. They just merchandise it and make money off it, but they don't push it beyond that.
Yeah. It's so frustrating.
Anyway, well, so it seemed like a situation where Rusev got Rusev Day over, both him and Aiden English. They didn't expect much of it. And it might be a situation where we've heard Vince where certain wrestlers get certain reactions. Well, he didn't, but he doesn't reportedly want those reactions of those wrestlers.
Yeah.
We've heard that he doesn't want the 10 chance for Ty Dillinger happening.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons. I don't know if I believe it. It's all from Meltzer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he's not on the show, really.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if the situation was like, oh, Rusev's day is over. We can capitalize on it, sell merchandise, which is, regularly in the top of the sales charts, but we're not going to really.
Yeah,
move him out of his position because he's getting himself over.
They don't feel like they need to compromise whatever crap story they think they're doing so great with on SmackDown. I think they're killing it on Raw, but like whether it's Road Dogg or whoever on SmackDown that's leading creative, it's a shit show, man.
Oh, I know.
It's such.
And I'm
a
not
shit
saying
show.
You got to push Rusev to the WWE title scene right now because Rusev Day is over.
Give the crowd some acknowledgement that what they enjoy seeing, what they have told you they want to see more of.
They can see more of it and see that succeed.
Yeah, exactly.
Put him in the U.S. title scene.
Yeah, exactly.
And, have him involved in that. Maybe win it, maybe not. I don't know. But have him involved in a storyline of substance and see if this thing can carry through for another few months. And if it does and it has legs, this Rusev Day thing, then you can start pushing him up the card.
There are Rusev Day chants going on at the last Ring of Honor show. I mean, if that doesn't tell you something, I don't know what does.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. Next up, we had Becky Lynch versus Carmella. This was set up, was it on SmackDown last week?
Or
was it on just
YouTube video backstage?
They're all in the locker room. I love Becky Lynch. I think she's great.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Chock full of charm.
I like Carmella too.
Yeah, it was a good match.
With this is it was a backstage segment, and they had too many goddamn words flying up on the screen.
So they showed the backstage segment that was originally on the YouTube.
And they put a bunch of garbage words on there.
And then they just threw a bunch of garbage words on there. Yeah, I don't know. Either it's here to stay or it's not. But a lot of people complain about it, which probably means it's here to stay.
Yeah.
Next up, we have...
Oh, Carmella tapped the disarmer.
Becky
picked up the win.
No, but Carmella was dominant most of this match.
Yeah, she was.
She was doing a really good job most of this match. I really like Carmella. I think she's
good. Yeah, me too. After that, we had Naomi and Natalya backstage. And the match was made for Fastlane, Naomi and Becky versus Natalya and Carmella. And Natalya said, well, after that match, I'm going to challenge the winner of the SmackDown Women's title match to a contest. She didn't say when.
Yeah.
I guess the...
The assumption is Mania.
Yes.
Yeah. Since this is a New Japan, you don't come out on a microphone and challenge somebody. I mean, I guess you can. But
could, but they can just say no.
Yeah, they can just say mm-mm. Let's see here. Next up, we had what was supposed to be AJ Styles versus Dolph Ziggler.
Here's the thing here. Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to interrupt you. So AJ comes out. The announcer says, the following contest, yada, yada, yada. Bell rings. This is with, 45, 50 minutes left in the show?
Yeah, there's a lot of show left.
So AJ drops a promo. I'm not getting to the meat of it yet, but we will. Dolph drops a promo, and AJ says, well, why don't we just start the main event of this show right now? So if this will be the main event of the show, why'd they ring the bell 10 minutes prior before any of the promos start saying this match is going to begin?
I didn't even notice that. That's funny.
They just telegraphed.
That is really weird.
What was going to happen later on.
I guess that was like a botch of some sort?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Probably on the script because it just said AJ Styles versus Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. I don't know, man. SmackDown has problems. I don't know what the deal is.
Oh, yes.
Like, you just saw a news report that WWE's hiring 5 new interns. Are they just shipping all their interns? Hey, SmackDown needs more interns. We're just going to throw more cheap work over there.
Maybe.
That could be.
Could be. I don't know. Anyways, AJ's promo was really good. He was really putting over his match against Nakamura at Mania.
Yeah.
Saying he wanted to take on the best, and the best is Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really allude to their previous match. I don't think a whole lot.
No, I mean, he brushed by it a little bit. He said it was a match that everybody wants to see.
Never thought they would see in WWE.
Thought they would see in WWE.
That's what he said.
We saw it somewhere else, I guess.
He brought up John Cena, him saying that he was going to win the title at Fastlane.
Mm-hmm.
He said no, because not only do I want this match against Nakamura, everybody here wants this match.
Yeah, exactly.
Retaining this title and winning a Fastlane for myself, I'm winning for us.
Yeah.
Dolph comes out. Record scratch, sorry. Dolph comes out.
Awkward silence.
Seemed protracted.
Yeah. Then record scratch.
Record scratch. He comes out. Awkward pause.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Then his music hits.
I still don't get
it. It worked the very first time.
We're past that.
Yes.
It doesn't make any sense anymore.
No.
Doesn't make a lick of sense anymore. Why are you still doing it? Why can't you just take 5 minutes and be dynamic? Just change things a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if it doesn't make sense anymore, why the hell are you doing it?
Why would you keep doing it?
I swear, man. I mean, is Kevin Dunn like trying to shoot down SmackDown?
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. I mean, we saw that report last week or something.
Fucking avant-garde or something?
Or two? Well, no. I mean, just because it's bad doesn't mean you're trying to call it avant-garde. It's like saying
I've seen some avant-garde stuff, man, and some of it's pretty.
No, some of it is bad. No, I know. But just calling something bad and saying, "Oh no, it's experimental," is not an excuse for it to be bad.
I don't know, man. I get the feeling those words are experimental. The words on the screen—you can't tell me those aren't experimental.
I mean, if they were like words written backward, maybe.
Right.
But if you're just throwing up random words,
okay.
I mean, they're throwing up words to punctuate points, I guess.
I know. Yeah.
But it defeats the purpose because it takes away from the content of the promo. Anyways,
you win.
AJ did a great job. Dolph comes out. Pretty much saying, I don't care about your dream match. I had my moment when I cashed in Money in the Bank. I was champion.
He said man a lot, too.
And I didn't. I think I do, too. And he said, I didn't do it for any of these people out here because the first chance they got, they left.
Mm-hmm.
They were no longer fans of Dolph.
Mm-hmm.
So, essentially, he was saying to AJ, don't do it for them. He said, AJ used to be cool.
Man.
You used to care about yourself.
Man.
But now you only care about these people.
Man.
The WWE Universe.
Man.
And then AJ just responded by saying, essentially, let's just fight now.
Yeah, can we just do this? Because I'm not even sure what you're supposed to be right now.
Yeah.
I don't think you know what you're supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean,
right now.
Like, Dolph returned. He was, like, kind of a face. And then last week he attacked AJ at the conclusion of his match against Cena. And I guess he's not a face anymore.
I guess he's just supposed to be kind of in the Baron Corbin territory where he's just a guy on his own who just does what he does.
No,
he's
too bitter still.
Yeah, I know he's bitter. Bitter's never a good look.
Nope, not a good look.
Bitter's a heel look.
Yeah, but even then, that's not really an effective heel gimmick.
Yeah.
If that's exclusively what you are, and that's what Dolph is he's just bitter.
He's just a big fan of Bret Hart, I guess.
Maybe.
He's the old, you know.
It was a decent match, though. They took their time building it up.
The match itself was fine. Yeah.
And then towards the finish, right before Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn attacked, was really good.
Mm-hmm.
They're really picking up.
Yeah,
anyways, cool. Owens and Zayn interfere. They start beating him up. Shane comes out, says, go ahead.
Guys, so why don't we not make this we're going to do a match, and it's going to be you versus you. Versus you, versus you, versus this guy, Baron Corbin.
Yeah, Baron Corbin got the and this guy.
He got and this guy, and the crowd popped. The crowd popped for him. He came out like a freaking like Stone Cold all.
Yeah, no,
Stone Cold Reborn.
They cut out the entrance or the intro to his music.
Because
so
yeah, if they
just
if he said
the drum beat,
this guy, I'd have been like the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah,
it was just the drum beat. I was like, okay, that's more effective. Let's just get right to it.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out, crowd pops.
Yeah, and that's and this Fatal Five Way match was actually a lot of fun because it was chaos.
It was.
The
I know
time.
It was pretty lengthy. It was chaos. It was fun. There was a lot of cool stuff going on, and in the very end. We saw Sami Zayn give one nasty haluva kick, one hell of a haluva kick to Kevin Owens, pin him in the middle of the ring with much gusto, 1, 2, 3, and then let out a Klingon-esque death rattle.
Yeah.
When he won. And, you know, obviously going back on his word that he was going to finger poke a doom.
He's going to lay down.
Kevin Owens goes up the ramp, Dasha, and they're... They run the bug.
Oh, the copyright, yeah.
Copyright bug, like moments left, and Sami Zayn is taking his time because, you know, they got to get to an unsolved.
Yeah.
You know, because I want to find out who killed Biggie Smalls. And then Dasha interviews him at the top of the ramp, and he lays down his manifesto, if you will. His philosophy this whole time has been, I have been the most overlooked guy in the WWE. I'm tired of your shit. I'm not going to take it anymore, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the best. I've been overlooked. Tired of it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Essentially.
I love that. I thought it was very effective.
Yeah.
Because the camera, like, for once, there was some good camera work done.
There wasn't 35 cuts in 24 seconds.
Oh, that's so infuriating when they do that. It would cut back to AJ. It would cut to Kevin. It would cut to the other guys all watching Sammy just lay this down. I thought it was pretty effective.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that if I didn't know that it was being rushed because of the copyright thing, you know, I was kind of anxious just to be like, oh, God, how much time does he have left?
Yeah,
this
yeah.
On me because I'm, you know, the Pavlovian response when you see the copyright thing is, oh, this is over.
Yeah.
Unless it's takeover. In
yeah,
which
then
case,
you know, Tommaso Ciampa is going to attack somebody.
Or, yeah, there's going to be some plot twist.
Yeah, I know.
After the show's over, some integral plot twist. takeover's over like that. And then you look on Twitter. When did that happen?
I know.
Anyways, so I thought that was cool. I'm glad we got that before Fastlane because it makes things kind of interesting. I mean, it's kind of obvious that this is, you know, that Fastlane match is going to be, you know, all eyes on Kevin and Sammy as, you know, they're no longer on the same page and Sammy's going to get his own.
Mm-hmm.
But AJ's still walking out of that champion. We're going to get him versus Nakamura at WrestleMania. It's mm-hmm. pretty easy to call.
Yep. Only a 2% botch is going to prevent that.
Yep, yep. Yeah, which, yeah. I mean, in a match like this, that could be as high as like a 4% botch. That many people involved?
Well, I mean, if it's 6 people in the match, then it's 2 times 2 plus 2 plus 2. That's got to be, what, 6%?
That's a 6% chance that somebody else is walking around with that title.
Yeah.
Dolph might actually
I think
win
it's 2%
that.
For every pair of competitors.
I think you're right about that.
So it would be 6%.
Your math seems sound.
Anyways, some decent moments, SmackDown, but uneven show. Kind of the history of SmackDown the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, here's the thing. Even on an episode that's, look, they obviously can't go back to the drawing board right now. They have to power through till Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're going to clean the slate.
We'll say no Daniel Bryan on the show.
That's right.
Just a little bit of Shane.
That's right.
Which you don't have to worry about them bickering about crap that should have been solved months ago.
I wonder if they've like finalized the fact that they're not doing anything with that.
Yeah.
Going into Mania.
Yeah.
If there was like a deadline of some sort.
They're just
like,
trying to brush right, well, it aside now.
It's done. It's done. Or maybe they'll revisit it and that'll be the Sammy Kevin thing. Maybe Daniel Bryan will back one of them and Shane will back the other, but I don't really see that because Shane seems to hate both of them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find some.
No, I think
some proxy for. Yeah, probably not, huh? And we haven't heard word one about Shane actually having a match at Mania.
Yeah.
Maybe Hell in a Cell was like his.
For now, yeah.
For now, yeah. His last big thing.
Well, I think they also realized the potential for Mania card this year to be pretty stacked.
And, I mean, dude, Shane's thing is the big
spot.
What did he do against AJ last year? Was there a big
he
spot
did
against AJ? Coast to coast or
and
something?
And then he tried to do the Shooting Star Press.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't really need that. Let the wrestlers wrestle, man.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, should probably take some questions.
Yeah, it's interesting questions.
I need to go to the P.O. box. I haven't been there for like a
week. Oh, yeah, you might have some mail. Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster. If WWE had a shakeup for GMs, who would go where? Every GM must change shows.
Wow.
Regal would go to Raw, right?
I would love to see Regal on Raw.
Let's see Daniel Bryan on 205 Live.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Robbie Rotten actually has those first two. It says Regal to Raw in the comments here underneath the question. He has Regal to Raw, Daniel Bryan 205 Live, Angle to SmackDown, and Drake Maverick to NXT.
See, I would flip those. I would, well, crap. Yeah, you're right. Kurt Angle really can't be going to 205 Live.
No, but he'd be great in NXT.
But no, here's the thing. No. Here's what I'm saying. Daniel Bryan goes to NXT.
Oh, that'd be good too.
Because he's like the indie guy. Drake Maverick goes to SmackDown. I think that'd be good. Kurt Angle goes to 205 Live because it's a show about wrestling. Doesn't necessarily have to be about the weight of the cruiserweights.
All right.
It could be about wrestling.
All right.
So that's my choice.
Fine.
Sticking with it.
AO Worm, early prediction. The last stretch of the match, Bob Roode is about to end the match, and then out of nowhere, boom, ref bump. Then Jinder comes and give Bob a coloss and gives Randy the win because of how many times he's beating him, and that sets up a triple threat match at Mania. What do you guys think? It's totally plausible.
Yeah, I can see that.
I wouldn't be surprised if they gave Randall Orton a token kind of U.S. title reign. Fill out his Grand Slam champ credentials.
Oh, between Fastlane and Mania?
And then have Bob Roode pick the belt back up at Mania.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Is that going to be your prediction?
I didn't say that.
Oh, whoa.
I just said it's entirely possible.
Wow. Johnny Ireland, how do you salvage the Riot Squad?
They just need to win.
Yeah, they need to win. They need to be more, I don't know. There needs to be. So Ruby Riott gave her explanation as to why she formed the Riott Squad, but she didn't say why she chose Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan.
I know.
I feel like there should be, like, even oddly, and I don't know why, but Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville just fit as a team.
I know they do.
Yeah, you know. It also doesn't help that. So I follow Ruby Riott on, like, I don't know, Instagram or whatever. And they always have a bunch of cute videos of them on the road, the three of them on the road. And so it's like, oh, they feel like they're good guys, not bad guys.
Yeah.
You know. Let's see here. Like, if you're going to, like, if you want to stay in kayfabe, you got to be doing bad things on your Instagram.
I know.
You know, hey, Sarah Logan's about to steal a banana out of this little convenience store.
You leave an Upper Decker in the public toilet, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, that's good. That took a turn. Robbie Rotten Christmas. It's a Robbie Rotten Christmas, and this I can. What is that avatar?
I don't know.
Weird. With talk of
it's from I think it's from a kid's show.
Oh yeah, okay. It looks familiar. With talk of WWE introducing a 205 Live tag team title, what is the likelihood of a women's tag team championship that would be held between brands? I don't know what the likelihood is. I would like to see it more in NXT, to be honest with you, though. Because they, like, all the women that we've heard, they've signed for the Mae Young Classic that have, like, no, like, Dakota Kai, I think, could be a big star.
Yeah.
But, like, they're just sort of, you know, they're focusing on.
They don't have a spot, like, a consistent spot for her on the show.
Right, exactly.
Unretired Dwayne Nix. SmackDown's so shit, I don't know if this is going to be a good question or not.
Whoa.
But if Asuka does challenge Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's title, how long do you think Vince will give their match at Mania? 20, 30 minutes?
No.
15 to 18.
Yeah, that's probably more along the correct lines. Bull Lift Club leader Johnny Mata. New Patreon and first-time question asker. Look at that. Thank you. Upvoted his question 7 times.
Fantastic.
Good. During the draft, what NXT call-ups would you have go to SmackDown or Raw respectively, and what position would you put them in? He says, example, for SmackDown, I'd have Aleister Black on SmackDown and right away have him pushed into a rivalry with Baron Corbin, then contend for Money in the Bank when the time comes, being pushed right into the main event. As for Raw, I'd bring up Drew McIntyre and bring him straight up against Roman in a Chosen One gimmick, turning heel.
I agree with Drew going to Raw. I think Aleister Black's going to be NXT for a little bit. Either Authors of Pain or Sanity should come up. If not both, Authors of Pain to Raw, Sanity to SmackDown.
Yeah. Authors of Pain definitely need to go to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to say I want anybody to go to SmackDown because it's just SmackDown. It's just I fear that their creative isn't going to get better anytime soon.
Yeah.
They really need to do something about that.
Oh, yeah.
Not
everybody can go to Raw, unfortunately.
I know. I like his scenario of Aleister Black. I mean, SmackDown needs a slightly, they need a bit of a polish. I know they've been doing some stuff with the graphics, and I get that. But I don't know. It just needs something. And it just needs better creative, too.
Yeah.
But I guess I'd be fine with Aleister Black on SmackDown, although Triple H might have big plans for him.
Yeah, I think he does. First in NXT and then eventually on the main roster.
Who else would you like to see get called up? I mean, we agree with Sanity and...
Authors of Pain.
Authors of Pain.
Well, who else is kind of accomplished probably all they're going to accomplish in NXT?
Well, the iconic duo.
Oh, yeah.
They need to get called up. I could see them going to SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be great.
I like that scenario somebody threw at us yesterday where Triple H and Stephanie brings up Shayna Baszler as their hitman for Ronda.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That would be cool. That'd be a really good first feud for Ronda because they know each other and they train together.
Yes. What is this? A Fox's Horror? Power rank top five wrestlers you would want to see brought into SmackDown Live once they have better creative.
Yeah, okay, there you go. That's sort of the key.
Finn.
Yeah, Finn would be good.
Just for a feud between him and AJ with the club. So I guess Finn and the club.
Finn the club.
I think Aleister Black would be great on SmackDown. Just worry about the creative aspect of it.
Yeah, I know, me too. Bailey.
Yeah.
Like Aleister Black, if he comes over, see, SmackDown already has a good, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like an intangible type thing, but Raw has kind of a mood about it.
It's got an aura about
it. It's got like an atmosphere about it. And SmackDown just kind of feels bleh.
But there was a time when SmackDown had that, it had a mood, had atmosphere around it when they were hitting all cylinders.
Well, it had good creative
interweaving storylines.
I've still always felt that there's two, it's too blue.
It is too blue.
It's too blue. Whereas Raw, I think, balances a good, decent amount of red with, you know.
Especially now with the new graphics.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so red heavy.
It's not too red.
But it's got plenty of red.
It's lots of red.
You definitely know this. It's Raw. It's the show that's got red in its graphics, but it's not too red, where SmackDown seems solely dependent on blue.
So if they bring Aleister Black over and Sanity, like, especially for them, they need some set dressing that's a bit moody, you know. That's why they're so perfect in NXT. It's dark. Bronze grappling hook. Charlotte is good in the ring, but not great on the mic, in my opinion. Power rank wrestlers who are good in the ring, but couldn't consistently cut good promos. He says Charlotte, Bayley, Cesaro. I thought Bayley was decent in NXT on the mic. Like, she did what she was supposed to do. That's just sort of character stuff.
I don't think Cesaro's bad on the mic.
Okay, I'll say this about Cesaro. He has come a long way. I was just watching again, like this morning, just for kind of a laugh. I was watching that NXT from 2012.
Yeah,
and he was
doing
some time in NXT.
Yeah,
God, he was bad.
Oh yeah,
he was really bad. But he's a lot better now.
Yeah,
especially
I mean, Alexa Bliss, I guess, just did an interview, and I think they were talking about Ronda Rousey, and she was saying how hard it is just to get in a comfort zone when you're out in front of that many people talking on a microphone.
I'm telling you, man,
and it just takes repetition.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Bret Hart. That was my main thing about Bret Hart, is that, I don't know, I just never, he always, I don't know. He isn't the kind of, like, the best wrestlers, like, when they're on the mic, I either want to hate them, I want to hang out with them, they intrigue me.
There's not a whole lot of this intriguing about Bret Hart, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
That was my thing with that.
He played his gimmick, like, too seriously.
Yeah, a little bit. There didn't seem to be a lot of joy there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, even when he was handing out his sunglasses to kids, it didn't seem a lot of joy.
No,
there.
He didn't really seem to smile a whole lot.
No, he didn't.
Or act like he enjoyed what he was doing.
Panda Adams chimes in here. DDP, I thought DDP was great on the mic.
DDP's awesome on the mic.
Yeah,
he's great now. Hear him talk now.
Yeah,
man, he's great.
Oh, I can never stand Mysterio on the mic. It's Kalisto thing. He sounds like a 12-year-old. And I don't really find anything that he says convincing.
I'm trying to think of somebody else on the roster now.
I don't really want to hear a plucky 12-year-old talk. You know what I mean? But, hey, he's great in the ring.
Yeah.
So what's Kalisto?
The highlight real heel. Hello, friend. It was first time Patreon, long time listener. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you can book a new evolution with Triple H being in the Flair role and Jason Jordan in the Randy Orton role, who would be your Batista and who would be your Triple H? Samoa Joe in the Triple H role.
Yes. I wouldn't put Jason Jordan in the Randy Orton role, though.
Well, that's the premise of the question.
Well, too bad I'm changing it. It's Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne is the future. He's in the Randy Orton role.
Lars Sullivan in the Batista role.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, no, yeah. Pan Adams says here, Jason Jordan could be in the Batista role. Let's see here.
Nemo, the Universal Kidney Punching Champion, with three U.S. champs saying they're going to do a U.S. Open Challenge. Do you think we will ever get another one that you two are not booking? Wait, what? With three U.S. champs saying they're going to do a U.S. Open Challenge, do you think we will ever get another one that you two are not booking?
Does this have to do with Steven Larson book Raw?
Seems like it. Oh, okay. Yeah, there's three U.S. champs now. There's the New Day.
Oh, okay.
And we book Raw.
Do you think we'll ever get another one that you... Oh, are we just going to get another U.S. Open? I think she's just talking about like... outside of our show, maybe?
Or I was thinking maybe when Jinder interjected himself when it was just going to be New Day member versus New Day member.
You know, it's possible there is a new U.S. champion on Steven Larson Book Raw.
Entirely possible.
You can check out the Twitch broadcast of that right now or
and
wait
on,
till...
YouTube on Monday, mm-hmm. Tuesday, whenever it goes up.
Whenever I decide to put it up. Sorry if I didn't understand the question.
Yes.
Richard Nason. Carmella is running out of time to cash in. She has till June.
Yeah.
She has had no momentum to win the title. I don't believe she will take it from Charlotte. Does this mean if they want Carmella to successfully cash in, who does she cash it in on?
Well, she can attempt to cash in and not be successful. It's not a given that she's going to successfully cash in.
No, that's true. But then you would have, I don't think they would care about this, but you'd have both. Do you think they would, well, this is actually the bigger issue now that I think about it. Do you think they'd have the first women's Money in the Bank winner not successfully cash in? That's kind of a big if.
Yeah, no, I know.
I would think maybe no. I would think they'd lean towards no. If they go Charlotte, Becky Lynch.
At Mania.
Maybe one of them, whoever wins.
And they're
it.
Setting up something between Becky and Carmella now. So maybe the idea is that if Becky wins at Mania, then Carmella cashes in right away.
Maybe.
Possible.
But man, we're getting down to it. We have no idea what Charlotte's going to do.
No, I know.
She has to face Ruby Riott first.
Super nerdy Sama. Hey, friend, knows it feels like Baron Corbin is missing something in his character. He's got the look and the cool music. But I feel there needs to be something more to define his character. What do you think that could be? Potential idea, he cuts promos from a room with a throne of bones with weird, grotesque oddities around him. Thanks, friendos.
Taxidermy.
That
would present all sorts of questions. Baron, where did you get all those bones from?
Yeah, man, he's the dude who likes motorcycles.
Hey. Well, we have no evidence of that anymore. Hey, I went to an oddities shop, and I got a lot of bones. Human bone. I don't think it's legal to sell human bones.
Probably not.
It's not. I got them from sketchy characters on eBay, Craigslist. Baron, don't say that to anybody.
That's
illegal,
man.
Don't tell anybody. Oh, I mean, they're replicas. Hey, these bones aren't me.
Obviously, because my bones are inside me.
I think that's a look. If they pulled that off, it'd be great. To be honest with you, him hanging out with a bunch of bones.
Maybe he'll just be a taxidermist.
That's good. Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Hey, do you have a dead cat?
I could do taxidermy on it, put in a cool pose. Like he's about to pounce.
Do you want him lunging at you? Or do you want him like...
Or like laying on his back playing with a ball of yarn?
Do you want him affectionately purring on your leg? Or
like eating perpetually from a bowl of food?
Do you want to trick people to think he's real? Or people just know it's an homage to your dead cat? I can taxidermy him. Or her. Any gender or type of cat. But only cats.
Only cats.
I'm not licensed to do dogs yet. Hey.
Oh,
he needs something extra for his character. There it is.
There you go. Tech
hey,
dentist.
I'm dentist.
That'd just be a profession gimmick, man.
Right, yeah, I know. Hey, I'm sanitation worker. It's not cool calling me garbage man anymore.
Yeah.
I'm sanitation worker. Only recycles on Thursdays in your neighborhood.
Colin, do you guys also find it really strange that they did the Fastlane six-pack challenge match last night? It might have looked like there were only five guys, but John Cena was there. You just couldn't see him.
Yeah, but we didn't really address the fact that they just did the match minus Cena last night.
And I think Tom Phillips said that. Here's your Fastlane main event minus John Cena. Yeah.
I think he literally said that. Are you trying to sell us on it or what, man?
Or not sell it on us. I mean, the match was fun, but like we saw 95% of the match. We know Cena's not going to win.
Yeah.
I know. Odd choice. Hey. Amongst many odd choices.
Let's see here.
Oh, okay. This is interesting.
Yeah.
Power from Panda Adams. Power rank best workers at specific strikes. Mm. He says Hall number one with punches. Flair number one with chops, but Benoit a very close second, and Nakamura number one with knees and elbows. Who had the best punches? Scott Hall did have good punches.
Yeah, he did have good punches, and he sold them really well, too.
Stone Cold had okay punches, although he held his fist like this, and you can see it sometimes.
God, who had a good punch? Didn't like Scott Steiner have a pretty good punch?
Maybe.
Because he was like shooting half the time.
Baron Corbin has a good punch because he's a Golden Gloves winner.
Mark Mero, another Golden Gloves winner. I feel like there's been a lot of Golden Gloves. What do you have to do to win Golden Gloves?
Boxing.
Yeah, but do you have to have like a certain record or something? Or
no, it's an amateur award, so I don't know.
Is it a tournament that you're in?
I don't know.
Oh, I have no idea. Interesting.
Chops, can't go wrong with Flair, number one.
Well, no, but I like...
Walter.
Benoit. He really had some monstrous chop. Big Show, you can't go wrong with those.
Almas.
Oh, man.
He has some good overhand chops.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. But Big Show had like the giant
hands.
Massive hands.
Hands.
And he'd go.
Smack. Yeah. J.R. Kratos here locally.
There you go.
I saw him almost cave someone's chest in.
Well, yeah, but he was fighting like a 12-year-old boy.
Nakamura, number one with knees and elbows. Kenny Omega has the best knee.
Oh, yeah.
He has the best knee.
Just ask evil.
Yeah. Elbows. Well, again, Shibata, when he was active,
had the
best forearms, but I'd say Ono now.
Oh, yeah, man, especially in the game when the person crumbles. But then that time he elbowed the back of Cesar Banana's head.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I really need to stop calling him Cesar Banana. He won the award for best future star.
Yeah, man. CM Punk finds it insulting. Power rank times random people tell Road Dogg, oh, you didn't know?
Oh, God. Number one, Road Dogg, this script is crap.
Oh, you didn't know?
Road Dogg, what happened after Bobby Roode came out to save
Charlotte? You didn't know?
No, I didn't. Maybe explain it.
Well, your ass better call somebody.
I kind of want to know, do we have any friendos that were there? How was that result? We need to find that out.
You're really hung up on that, man.
What did Bobby Roode do anything?
I guarantee you nothing happened.
Did they just, did they do the, oh no, it's Bobby Roode, let's split. And then they all run out to the crowd.
And they did this?
Exactly.
Dropped water all over these trivia cards.
Oh no, it's Bob Roode, let's get out of here.
Sergio C here in chat has a good point. Luger had the best elbow.
It was bionic.
It had metal in it.
It had metal rod in it, yeah. Man, I really want to know.
All right, let's do trivia. Maybe someone will answer the question.
On the Twitter. Let us know. Yeah, find out, people.
Alex C. says...
That's not true. We didn't do that.
Yeah, you weren't there, Alex.
You weren't there. We know you weren't there.
Those people saying it to Road Dogg. Hey, Road Dogg. Oh, you didn't know? The script needs a rewrite.
It's not... Oh, okay. Hey, Road Dogg. Oh, you didn't know what happened to Bobby Roode last night during the commercial break? All right, time for trivia.
Classic. Or you want to start with modern era?
We'll start with the classic era. I like going chronologically.
Oh, I know you've had this card before. Oh, well.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Big events.
Yeah.
What massive superstar did Mankind team up with to challenge for the World Tag Team Championships at It's Vader Time?
What famous tough guy served as a special guest enforcer for the casket match at Survivor Series 94?
Survivor Series 94.
Yeah, famous tough guy.
Was it Chuck Norris?
Yeah.
Nice.
I've had this card before.
Let's see here. Championships. What longtime rival challenged, Macho Man, for the WWE Championship at SummerSlam 92?
longtime rival?
Yeah. Challenged the Macho Man for the WWE My title at SummerSlam 92. Oh, yeah.
Hogan.
You know, man, he asked for a lot of money and then disappeared. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Warrior.
Yeah.
Who was awarded the Intercontinental Championship in October 95 due to an injury to Shawn Michaels, only to lose it to Razor Ramon the same day?
Dean Douglas. Ha, 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 the franchise.
Yeah.
Superstar bio. In 1992, Ric Flair became the second man in history to have won the NWA and WWE championships. Who was the first?
Buddy Rogers.
The other Nature Boy.
What object did Macho Man Savage use to injure Ricky Steamboat's larynx leading up to WrestleMania 3?
Wait, what object did who?
Macho Man used to injure Steamboat's larynx.
Was it a pineapple? No, coconut.
No, it was the ring bell.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
What happened when, was that Piper doing the on Piper's Pit? He threw a coconut at somebody's head?
Snookas.
All right, well, I thought it was a coconut to the throat. I don't think that would have done much damage. What the big events for the modern era? I thought it was a fruit. What Jersey Shore star team would you? Oh yeah, here's a grape. I'm gonna put a grape down your throat.
Choking hazard.
You're gonna
man.
Choke a little bit. Oh yeah, gotta cut it up into little pieces for your throat because you're a little baby. Oh yeah. What Jersey Shore star team with John Morrison and Trish Stratus at WrestleMania 20?
Wasn't it Snooki?
Very good. Yeah.
Who became the first superstar to win consecutive Money in the Bank matches at WrestleMania 24 and 25?
First
superstar to win consecutive Money in the Bank matches.
CM Punk.
Yeah.
Best in the world. Championships. Who in 2009 became the first... I'll do it with the voice. Who in 2009 became the first Irish-born WWE champion in history, you dumb son of a bitch?
Sheamus.
No, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah, Sheamus.
And what type of match did Sheamus defeat John Cena at TLC 2010 to win his first WWE championship?
A ladder match?
Tables match.
Oh, what a bummer. Superstar bio. All right, here, I'm going to do their voice again to help you out.
All right, okay? Thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, what superstar would complain about and then later celebrate an invisible fan he called Little Jimmy?
Oh, that's R-Truth.
And then he broke his leg and said, fuck you. Yes, R-Truth.
What was the name of the faction featuring Triple H, Ric Flair, Randy Orton, and Batista?
I'll
accept the synonym as an answer.
Progress.
That's good. I won by one. I get a card.
Oh, you know.
Lundra Blaze.
Nice. Yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
All right, that's the show for today. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Thank you for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. We got the Tournament of Champions for Chat Trivia coming up in the post
show. Very exciting.
Very exciting. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.